The Dead Pair Podcast is brought to you by the Elite Experience, Elite Shotguns, and is fueled by Fiocchi.
Paul?
Welcome to the Dead Pair Podcast, coming in hot with everything you want to hear about sporting clays.
Guy Fieri.
How are you, gentlemen? Thanks for having me.
Anthony Matarese Jr., how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well.
Welcome back, David Radulovich.
That's a net positive.
Brad Kidd.
Corey Cruz. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Now I feel awkward.
With your hosts, Jason Rambo.
One more Red Bull for you.
And Sean Alley.
Woo, yeah!
Christmas.
Let's do it.
Often imitated but never duplicated. It's the Dead Pair Podcast.
The Dead Pair.
And now, it's showtime.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back, the soon to be infamous Mr. Large and in Charge. What's up, buddy?
Soon to be infamous? I thought I already was infamous.
Well, I don't know how to say this. My man Sean is losing weight. He's never going to be good looking, but at least he's not going to be quite as large anymore. It's I'm proud of you, man.
Does medium and in charge have the same ring to it?
You're still tall, so you know, we'll just give you that, right? It's like I told the one just so everybody knows, I told the one trapper, he was shooting in front of me, and I'm like, can you shuffle that around before we get started here? And trapper looked at me kind of weird, and I'm like, look, it's like trying to look around a Walmart to see the targets, right? So, but what was that saying you said, Sean? You were never small, you were just medium or something? Like, what was your saying?
No, I was never little, I was just young.
There you go.
Yep. Now, I doing good, man. The diet's doing good. Feel a lot better. It's been tough. It's been strict, as you know.
Oh, yes.
But definitely seeing the benefits from it. And, you know, the pant sizes are going down. The health is going up. I mean, everything is feeling a lot better. Can't say enough about that. And we'll just keep working at it, buddy.
Just gotta,
one day at a time.
Just got to watch the gun fit. I mean, I know I'm on the same diet you are. I've lost 30 pounds. And, oh, yeah, you got to pay attention to the gun fit because that'll definitely change things.
So. I'm sure that's coming. But so far, I've been able to kind of adjust. It's been a slow enough process. It hasn't affected me too much as of yet that I can tell. But I'll definitely keep an eyeball on it.
Well, hey, let's talk about some clay target shooting here. We've got interviews coming up from the Jack Links. Got some really good interviews for you. But before we get to that, Sean, you know, this whole Florida swing's been interesting. You know, I just completed the Florida Challenge, and, you know, I know everybody's like, well, what's going on? You guys are 2 weeks late. Well, give us a minute.
We've had a lot going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there for the Caribbean Cup. I was there for the Jack Links. You, of course, went to, I think your first one was the Blackjack Open, right?
Yeah, and that, you know, I don't understand. I mean, everybody focuses so hard on the Caribbean down at Vero and Jack Links, even the RC Cup's getting pretty big now. But man, these shoots like the Blackjack Open to start the year, the Florida Challenge, I mean, we're talking really good targets, really good food, really good venues. I mean, I think people are missing out by not coming to some of these shoots. You know, Blackjack Open, I shot pretty decent. I won the Super Sporting there. I was fortunate enough. I won the Make a Break. But man, the food was outstanding. The vendors, I mean, there was a whole slew of vendors there. The targets were really good. I mean, I thought they did a good job of testing us, to say the least.
Do you remember who set the targets for that event?
Yeah, so that was Bruce Potter set most of them. But yeah, I mean, they're, you know, it's a shoot that I think everybody, I know, look, I've been on the road for 5 weeks, okay? It's not easy. And what I am advocating for is if you're going to come down, you're going to pick one of the big ones, you know, whether it's Jack Links or Caribbean, we hope to see you at Caribbean, pick one of those, but pick one in the beginning and the end also. You know, I mean, there's the RC Cup now. Unfortunately, I did not make that one. But these shoots down here in Florida, what we call the Florida Swing, they're signature shoots for a reason, man. I mean, these are really big shoots, really nice shoots.
Well, and especially if you're coming from up north where the weather's, let's say, less than ideal, you know, you're coming down there to obviously not only shoot, but also enjoy a little bit of time away from the cold and nastiness, which is slowly coming to a close as we move into spring here. But at the same time, the other thing is, you know, people that are working can only afford to take so much time off. So sometimes it is a hard choice to make. I mean, now that you're living down there in Florida, Jason, it's a lot easier for you. Not saying it's easy, but it's easier for you than a lot of people that have to travel, you know, from the great frosted north. And me included. I mean, again, I was able to stay there for, I think I took 11 days off of work, which probably has been the longest stretch I've been able to have for the last several years. Thoroughly enjoyed myself at the Caribbean Cup, thoroughly enjoyed myself at the Jack Links. But you know, again, I guess if you're a shooter, you need to pick and choose where you want to go. But they're all good. They're all great shoots. And I totally agree with you. Try to hit them at least once because they're worth it.
Well, because it's across a 5-week span, let's say you got something going on at work and you can't make the Jack Links. There's no reason why you can't get something at the beginning or the end or, you know, somewhere in between or whatever.
Absolutely.
Even if you can only make one, I mean, these shoots are, they're amazing. They really are. The Jack Links Cup, I think, was the third largest attendance in our country, bested only by the U.S. Open and the Nationals. Now, of course, the World Championship's always going to be big when it comes here every couple of years. But as far as like regular within the country's, you know, USA shoots, the Jack Links Cup's, it's getting big, Sean.
Oh, and it's only going to get bigger. I mean, from what we heard and which you guys will all hear shortly, you know, they've got big plans to keep this thing growing. They do a phenomenal job, and they have just a ton of people, a ton of staff there. I mean, it takes a lot of people to put on that kind of a production, and hats off to them for being able to do it. So
yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's get to some of these interviews. Y'all stick around. There's a lot more stuff to talk about afterwards. Some important stuff we need everybody's earballs. So check out these interviews, and we'll see you here in just a few minutes. The Dead Pair. Here with Braxton Oliver, the 2023 Jack Links champion. Braxton, you just got here today, right?
Just got here today.
And have you shot anything yet?
Shot the North prelim and the Blue Wednesday prelim.
What'd you think so far?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good. Pretty good targets to warm up on.
How'd you shoot, little buddy?
We got Rad Chad Roberts in here with us. Braxton, I wanted to get an interview with you before you started the main event. I mean, you won this event last year, and you know this year now there's even more money. Does the money add any pressure to you at all?
I'd be lying if I said it didn't.
Right?
It definitely does.
Does it change strategies or anything like that going into an event like this?
Some people probably. I definitely try to prepare more than most tournaments I get ready for.
Yeah, I mean that kind of money obviously demands attention. What is HOA this year? 30? Is that what it is? Or 20, 25,000? So with options, you could probably walk out of here with 30, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easy.
Easily.
Yeah. So last year when you won it, did it change your life at all? Do you feel like it did? Or did it just feel like you just paid off a whole bunch of debt from shooting for many years? Some people.
Yeah, I paid off a little bit of debt.
Nice, nice.
A little bit of debt.
I was just going to ask, you know, Doug Vine is setting part of the tournament this year, and you like big targets. You've made that comment before. You like big targets. So did Joe Skull's targets being closer, a little slower, do they bother you a little bit?
Not really. Not really. No. I really enjoy Joe's targets a lot, too.
You're just a fan of the big, big targets.
Yeah, if it's 40-plus, I have a fighting chance. 30 and in, everyone's got a chance.
What did you think of the prelim? That I was following you around on the blue prelim, and that was, for me, it was a grind. That was probably, I shot an 88, and that was probably the hardest 88 I've shot in years. Like, hands down, like, I know it was Joe. I know there was some sun involved. I actually talked to him a little earlier at lunch today, and he said it was really hard to set knowing that there was a 330 or a 230 rotation. And I was, I think, one or two squads behind you, and I saw some of your moves, and I saw, was it a grind for you as much as that it felt for me, or was that pretty normal for you?
It felt a little normal, but I haven't shot in probably 3 months. I finally shot RC Cup a couple of weeks ago, and that's the first I touched my gun since Nationals. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those true pairs out there, you really had to shoot them under power or be able to move quick to break some of those true pairs. And it felt good to be able to finally kind of get back in that groove after taking time off.
Nice, nice.
So what else have you shot in the Florida Swing so far?
Just the RC Cup.
Just the RC Cup. So this is kind of, you're getting the season underway and you're kind of jumping in. Everybody's kind of jumping in both feet with jack lengths. I mean, Vero last week, they had really good targets, Chad. You were talking about that earlier. Talked to Wendell Cherry and they absolutely love the targets there for what it was. And I say what it was because it's a smaller venue. When you come here, they're able to stretch it out. They're able to get big. So, you know, up north, we talk about mid-season targets and early season targets. Down here, it's you're jumping in knee deep right then and there.
Full swing.
So this kicks your season off, Braxton. This kicks your season off. What do you take from here? Do you evaluate your performance here and kind of help tweak anything for the season? Or is it just one target at a time, no matter what?
It's more one target at a time.
I have a question. I saw that you got your stock done and you've been waiting for a while. How long were you shooting your pattern stock from, Jim?
I switched to the Krieghoff in 2020 and I had the pattern stock done right away when I got it.
So you shot that in when you won last year, correct? Mm-hmm. So I know that you just got it done because I mounted your gun and it smelled really nice because whenever a new stock, you can always smell them. Is that hinder at all, or does it feel like it's just butter and you're ready to rock and roll?
It feels pretty spot on.
Nice. Spot on. Yeah, Jim does a pretty good job. When it takes a while, but once you get it, you're like, okay, this is awesome.
he's done two patterns for me now, one on the previous gun, the one I had on the Krieghoff, and this is actually the first final. Mm-hmm. But all three, both patterns and the final, all have been awesome.
Did you gain any sponsorship opportunities with other companies when you won the Jack Links last year? Did that happen for you, or was it still pretty much standard quota for whatever you had already?
Yeah, pretty much the same sponsors. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the same sponsors. Cool. I didn't really pick up anyone else after that.
Nice. So you kept everybody the same. So nothing absolutely. New going into this year, no secret weapons you're going to tell us about with ammo or glasses or you know, something under the hood that you have on that Krieghoff. You don't have anything special on it.
Same old.
You didn't choke it up anymore or choke it any less or anything like that?
No. If I could choke it up, I probably would try.
What are you running on that purple?
It's light full and full.
Okay. There you go. You still, what shells are you running?
The Winchester Super Handicaps.
Okay. So you got some cannons in there. Yeah. There you go, baby. 7.5 or eights?
Actually eights.
Nice. See, I've been pushing Jason to push some more eights out of his barrel and he's starting to like that.
There's something about when you light up a Shondell or something that's showing all belly with eights and there's nothing left that hits the ground. It just vaporizes it, you know? So, and then if you really want to get nuts, I don't know. Do you shoot 1 ounce or ounce and eight?
Ounce and eight.
See, I've been experimenting with those with the white rhinos, and boy, it doesn't matter belly or not. It just grenades a target.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Everybody has their favorite loads. We always talk about that on the show, you know, and you get on the internets and everybody gets crazy with, oh, you got to shoot this. Or you see the guys out on the course today. I saw it all day long because our squads are backed up a little bit, and I watched a lot of guys throwing different loads and they're like, okay, I got this target at 50 yards. I better put this in. And this one I got to put in. You can see it. And it was really messing with a lot of people because there was a lot of different variety on that course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, added on top of that, all the sun different differentiations on different, stations. But it seemed like you handled it well. I want to ask you about station, I believe it was 10. It was a true pair going up. Mm-hmm. And you took the top one first and then the bottom. And then I saw a kid on your squad take it low first. Mm-hmm. And did you think about that at all?
I did. And for me, that true pair, the targets don't come out, or they don't come out of the trees the exact same time.
Correct.
And so the high bird was a standard and I could see it first. Low bird was a little bit closer and it was a midi. So I knew if I saw that one first, I could take the standard and then the midi at 25, maybe 30.
So when you
just go right to it,
did you drop one there? I think you did. Right?
I did.
And so did that bother you, like with your strategy when that happens? Like, man, maybe I made a different. And the reason why I'm asking this, and I know the answer. So this is just me trying to help you guys out there that you'll see somebody like a professional shooter like Braxton or myself that will take a target in one way, and then you'll see somebody else take it the other way. And there is no wrong way to take stuff. I mean, sometimes we can give you a better understanding of why you should take it, like what he's explaining right there. But you know, you got to do with what is in your ability. And I think some people are just like that, that lower one, even though it was coming out late, was closer. Yeah. So they're like, I'm just going to double tap it and then go up to the big one if they need to. Right. So it was neat to watch that on your squad, the dynamic with that, because you held your own. You were very methodical about doing that. And then somebody else walked in and did something different. So on the two stations later, there was a tower shot. Did you take the flat one first that came out and kind of passed the other one? And then, okay, so most people were doing that. And I saw some people take it the opposite way and were hitting it pretty good. And I was like, made me think even like, what am I not seeing, right? You know, like, so do you ever get that where you see somebody, especially if they're a good shooter, and then you know they're good and they can put up a score and they do it backwards than what you were maybe thinking? Does that make you think maybe try something different?
It depends on how hard it is.
Right. Okay.
You know, the more difficult the station is and you see someone do opposite of what you want to do, it definitely makes you think
like,
about
uh-oh.
It.
Yeah.
But, you know, the pairs where you're like, okay, you can definitely break it either way. Right. You know, you just pick on the way that you're more comfortable with.
Sure, sure. So for all you people out there that are coming into this, there's been a lot of downclassing this year. You know, we know that that's a big thing on the internets. I call it the internets because there's lots of them, Google and all that stuff. But do you feel that there is this is a kind of tournament that will hopefully keep people from trying to not, you know, refuse the downclass and will actually like, look, I'm going to take the downclass because I deserve it. You know, I'm not competitive, but I'm going to be competitive in that lower class. And because somebody like Jack Links puts the money up and allows you to make some pretty decent change if you do well, do you find with shooters that you may have taught before or teach currently that you're saying don't do the stupid thing by just refusing, like maybe think about what you're doing and come out and being a better competitor?
I mean, for a shoot like this, if you get downclassed, I think you do have a better chance
sure
to win it. But when you're talking about shooters in general, I think it's about 50-50.
Gotcha.
Or by that, I mean like the shooters themselves. Some people want to take the down class because they know they're not competitive. Some people won't take it because they
ego or whatever.
Ego and they want to be there. So I think it's 50-50. Just as many people that don't want to be downclassed by ego, and then there's just as many people that will take it because they know they're not competitive.
Gotcha. So and you teach still a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Are you teaching?
Yeah. Trying to do more.
That's good. Well, you're a champion, so you should be teaching as much as you can and giving us some of that stuff that you do out there to make us better as shooters too, right? So
Well, cool. Braxton, I wanted to catch up with you before you shot the main event, like I said. I wanted to get your mindset going into this event. For everybody that's, you know, we've talked about all these Florida swing tournaments, people that are thinking about coming here. You know, you and Chad shoot around the country all year long, regional, state, big state shoots, U.S. Open, nationals. If somebody's thinking about coming down here, especially from the northern states, because this is a warm getaway, and they're kind of on the fence about it, what is it about this tournament, not just the big money or any of these Florida swing, you know, Caribbean at Vero or RC Cup at South Florida, what is it that you would tell these people why they should come down and shoot these tournaments?
It's just flat out nice.
Yeah.
I mean, the clubs are super nice. The weather's great. I'm a bigger guy. I'm not in the best of shape. If I can wear jeans and not sweat out here, it's perfect.
Yeah, right. There you go. I like that. Yeah.
The weather's great. The venues are great. You got the beach. You got cool farms down here, cool shooting clubs, a lot of good restaurants. I mean, it's kind of dumb if you don't come down here and try to make a little vacation out of it and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Braxton, thank you very much. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. You know, hopefully we're talking to you again at the end of this thing.
I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Anybody, I'd like to ask anybody you'd like to thank, you know, any of your sponsors.
Bear Pelt, Krieghoff, Greenwood, and Little Trapper. I've actually been with all four of those sponsors for those four specifically, I think the last 3 years now.
Nice.
Very nice.
Nice. That's awesome. When you can get a good sponsor that will stick behind you for thick and thin, whether you take a break or not. And yeah, they're good companies too. So that's good. I'd like to see the success to come your way. I'd like to get a little of it, but if you win it, you deserve it, man. That's awesome.
Hey, I'll be just as happy if you win.
Yeah, no kidding, right? This is how we work in this game, guys. So we work really hard to get where we're at. So if we get something out of it, we all like it. You know, it's pretty cool. So
Awesome. Thanks again, Broxton.
Yes, sir. The Dead Pair.
All right, we have caught up with Steve Frey, CFO, and what was the other title, Steve?
EVP.
EVP of Jack Link's Beef Jerky. Steve, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for being here, and thanks for letting me join you.
We appreciate the few minutes. I know we're getting ready to eat dinner, so we won't keep you, because if you're as hungry as us, you're probably ready to stab somebody for some dinner. Talk about this shoot. It continues to grow every year. The purse continues to grow. And you were sharing with us some ideas and some thought process moving forward of what this facility wants to do. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, thanks. So from a Jack Link's and both a Quail Creek perspective, we want the shoot to grow. We have the facilities, we have the staff, and we have the investment that we'd like to make to encourage this shoot and the sport to continue to grow. I think we have somewhere between 1,300 and 1,400 shooters at the Jack Link's Cup this year. And we want to encourage the best shooters in the world to join the shoot. But we also want to encourage the young guns type of groups to join the shoot as well. We recently started to sponsor Todd Hitch in 2024. And we were looking for the best person and got lucky and got one of the best shooters as well. So we want the sport to grow. We want it to grow at Quail Creek. We want it to grow at all the other facilities in the U.S. And the more we can promote the sport, the more we can promote Quail Creek, the more we can promote shooting, as well as the Jack Link's products, we feel like we have a win for the entire community.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, Steve, you know, one of the curious things that Jason and I have seen over the years, you know, a lot of big name sponsors, potential sponsors for this sport, seem to kind of shy away, basically because maybe firearms are related and it maybe has a bad press. Jack Link's obviously has stepped up to the plate. You guys are running a first rate event, number one. Number two, you're putting up some of the biggest money in the country. I mean, what was the decision, or I guess where did it come from for you guys to support this sport and sponsor the sport?
Yeah, it really starts with the Jack Link's products. And Jack will tell you, who's here tonight, I'd love to introduce you to him. Jack will tell you that the first ingredient in our beef jerky is soap and water, because it's safe product, safe environment for our team members. And at the same time, we want a safe shooting environment for all participants. So we emphasize safety. We emphasize the investments back in the community, and we want to emphasize the fact that people can have a very wholesome and great sport, and in the case of Todd as an example, develop a career in shooting. Also for us, we're outdoorsmen. We believe that Jack Link's is a great product, high protein. It's a great product for folks who like to be outdoors, whether it's hiking or running or shooting or boating. All of those things, we believe that our products in the Quail Creek organization and club can appeal to. So it's really the kind of the genesis of it. Jack and Troy have been outdoorsmen their whole lives. I've become partly that because I've been with the Jack Link's organization for a decade, and working with Jack and Troy has been an awesome experience, and we want to share that experience with the community.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, it's funny because you said something about, you know, wholesome and outdoors and everything else. It's funny how the mindsets change. And what I mean by that is a good friend of mine and a business partner, Scott Manspeaker, he's CEO of Atlas Traps, is here. He's like, you know, he goes, for years when I go into even if a convenience store, when I would buy beef jerky, it was just whatever's on the shelf. Now I look for Jack Link's because they're supporting the sport. So have you guys seen like a revenue shift since you started, you know, with the management ownership of Quail Creek?
Yeah, we have. Sometimes we can track it regionally. So if there's a shoot in a certain area, and the same with an event like a Super Bowl too, and we can track, and we will make sure our products and displays are very apparent for opportunities like that. Large number of our consumers buy this on a impulsive buy. It's not on your grocery list. So for us to have the product available to the consumer, and when they think about Jack Link's, we want them to think about product safety, food safety, quality cuts of beef that go into our products, which is very true. It's very specific cuts of beef that go into our products. And we want consumers to think about it that way.
That's awesome. Well, shifting back to the sport itself, you talked about the potential for and the interest in holding larger events here. Now, look, this is already, I already looked at Score Chaser coming in this event. This is the third largest shoot in the country. You have Nationals, then you have the Worlds at Anthony's at M&M's, and then this shoot as far as participants as of right now. Surely anything can shift throughout the year, but this is already the third largest shoot in our country. what is the future? What is Jack Links wanting to do here at Quail Creek moving forward?
So we want to continue to advance the Jack Links Cup and then some of the other registered shoots that happen throughout the year. We want to continue with that. We want to promote the young guns, part of what we invest in, and the groups that shoot from Quail Creek. But we're also very interested in the regionals, probably the Southeast Regional, and we're also interested in the U.S. Open and hosting some of the larger events in the country outside of the Jack Links Cup. We believe that we have a great product. We believe we can have a great experience for the shooters and their families here at Jack Links and at Quail Creek. So we want to start to move into some of those shoots, and we'd love the opportunity to host them.
Well, you definitely have the facility for it too, you know. So, you know, when this started out, we were here the first year, and there was two courses. Now it's three courses. I imagine that as this purse continues to grow, there might be four courses, but you definitely have the room for it. I mean, we were blown away. The first year we were here, I was like, wow, this place is really big. Last year we came here and it's like, oh, you're shooting super sporting? Well, you got to go across the bridge and way out in the back. And it's like, holy cow, where did all this land come from? And then I shot FITAS this year. And it's, once you cross the bridge, it's another 10-minute ride in a buggy to get back there. So it's like, how much land do they have? How much land do you have here?
Well, there's several thousand acres here. Are part of the Quail Creek.
Right. I know part of it's, and I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
Yeah,
no, it's all good.
Part of it's used for hunting.
Yeah.
But as far as the sporting side, what have you guys allocated?
It's probably split 50-50. But there's parts of what you saw today where the FITASC is at and the super sporting. Those are fields we use for other events or other experiences for members or local hunters. There's quail fields back there. Actually, one of the quail fields is being used for some of the sub-gauge events right now. And if you hang out there very long, you can see some of the quail that kind of wander out of the palmettos. But there are the property that extends to where what you described, there's additional acres back there that aren't being used that could be used. And you're right, it is a 10-minute buggy ride, but we hope that that's part of the experience.
Yeah.
That you get to see a great property with a very great views and some unique aspects of it.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's quite a few acres back there that we can shift and adapt if we wanted to have another course instead of the three that we have now for the main event as an example, or hold more prelims back there. There's plenty of property that we can adapt to hosting a U.S. Open.
Well, Steve, I'll tell you what. We promote this sport. We promote this tournament simply because you guys do a first-rate job here. First of all, the staff is friendly and accommodating. You guys go above and beyond. I mean, there's always plenty of Jack Links products, beef jerky, and all that stuff for snacks. You guys have tons and tons and tons of people working here. I mean, how long in advance do you guys actually start working on the planning and as far as going into next year in 2025?
Yeah, the team will take a deep breath after this week. They have an NSCA register shoot in a couple weeks too. They'll probably have 100 shooters maybe at that event, but they'll start planning for the 2025 Jack Links Cup in March. There's a lot to organize with supporters, vendors, with staff, but you're right, there are a lot of people who work here, but we want to put on a first-rate experience and a first-rate shoot for the shooters and their families.
Yeah.
And that's really how Jack and his son Troy, who lead Jack Links, how they think about Quail Creek and how they think about our business.
And anything you want to tease us with about coming up next year?
Well,
any big ideas?
And that's what I was just getting ready to ask, because I know you always announce it every year at the dinner what the purse is going to be. Now, this is not coming out for a couple of weeks. You want to go ahead and drop that bomb?
I'm going to let the team here lead that charge.
Okay.
And I'll stay out of it. Jack's here today. You may be able to get it out of him.
Okay.
But I'll let the team here get that announced. I think the idea is continue to expand the number of shooters. We have almost 1,400 shooters this year, and we thought the flow of the shoot, the tournament, went very well. Dinner right now seems to be going extremely well, which are just a couple of things that we watch to make sure that we can accommodate 1,500 or 1,800 or 2,000 shooters, which is what you get at the largest shoots in the U.S.
This has been awesome. I can't wait to hear what's coming for next year. You know, it's one of those things, you know, all the Florida swing is exciting to us. And when I say us, I mean Sean and I and everybody up in the Northwest that's frozen in the frozen northern tundra. This is exciting to get down to Florida, be part of the Florida swing. You know, you have the Blackjack Open, of course, at Blackjack. Then you have the RC Cup, Vero Beach, Jack Links, and then the Florida Challenge. And it's like those are becoming five major shoots to start the year. I mean, it almost regional precedence. So for this to be one of the big ones, couldn't be more honored to have you for a few minutes to speak with us, and looking forward to the news for next year.
Yeah, well, thank you guys. Very much appreciate you being here. Love the fact that you promote the sport. Love the fact that we can do it together, and look forward to next year and seeing how this thing advances.
Absolutely.
Our pleasure, Steve. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Yeah, thank you guys. The Dead Pair.
All right, we finally caught up with Mr. Todd Hitch at the Jack Lynx Tournaments 2024. Todd, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How you doing? Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
It's been a hot minute. We've been chasing you around for 4 years now, man.
Yeah, and I've had a busy schedule of school and shooting, so I'm happy to be on the podcast.
So speaking of busy schedule, you've been down here teaching for like 3-4 weeks now.
Yes, I came down on January 8th and been giving lessons here at Quail Creek Sporting Ranch up until the week after Jack Lynx, so it'll be about okay. 8 weeks total.
And that. then you're heading back home?
Yes.
What's the teaching schedule look like then if anybody's wanting a lesson?
I've got some openings, especially in March. I'll be in the Nashville area in March, then April and May. I'm actually currently working on a website right now, so I've been holding off releasing those dates until the website comes out.
Okay.
So just stay in tune, and if you want, we'll add my phone and email on. And get everybody in touch.
Okay, cool. Talk about your involvement with Jack Lynx in Quail Creek. Not just coaching, but we saw you out there. You're passing out beef jerky and all this 9 yards. Talk about your involvement here at the Jack Lynx.
Yeah, so my partnership with them, essentially I'm the brand ambassador for them in the shooting world. So I'm I like to represent them. They've got a busy schedule, so they can't get to all the shoots, like they could. So they picked me to represent the brand, hand out beef jerky, all the shoots, and keep everybody smiling.
There you go.
Well, that's a great job. Everybody loves to see the guy coming with the beef jerky, right?
Everybody loves beef jerky, so easy, kind of easy job, but hard job.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your shooting. How do you think the tournament's going so far?
The tournament's going very well. I think they've done a fantastic job. Everything's on smoothly. I know. I've left a couple mistakes out in the main event. I'll probably leave them a couple behind pace right now. So we'll see if I maybe catch up some tomorrow. I shoot the blue course. So, but fit test went well. Shot 98 in that. Then shot 95 in the prelim for master first. So it's been a good weekend.
So you mentioned you're shooting the blue course tomorrow, which is what we're shooting also. And they're talking 100% chance of rain all day tomorrow. How does that change your mindset going into an event like that? When you know you got rain, you know you have adversity in front of you, what do you do mentally to prepare for something like that?
I mentally prepare I start checking the forecast a couple weeks out. So I've always started 2-3 weeks in advance of the tournament. I know what the weather's going to be like, so I've always set my mental game and tone for that weather condition. That way I'm at the shoot. All I do is need to make sure I've got my rain buggy, put a rain cover on my buggy. And then just make sure I got spare clothes. I do not like shooting in rain clothes. I feel like I can't move the gun as well. So I drip dry. It's one of the things, it's a mindset. You just kind of have to accept it. It's not going to be the best fun round.
Right.
But somebody's got to win it. So at the end of the day, I want to be me.
Now, do you make any other changes to your gear, shells, anything, treat your gun differently or anything like that?
I'll make sure. A big thing is I won't clean it before the rain just because I don't want to clean my gun twice in the same day. So I clean it right after the second I get done shooting. I just make sure I wipe it down in oil and clean it. If not, and that goes for any gun, no matter what the gun is. So.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, buddy, I tell you what, we wish you the very best. Me and Jason will be out there swinging and missing probably more than you. But we all got to deal with the rain. We all got to shoot it. So best of luck to you, and hopefully you finish near the top.
Yeah. Hey, and Todd, real quick, run through your list of sponsors. I don't know if we've had you on since you've picked up Remington. So Remington STS is a sponsor. Who's your other sponsors helping you out?
So I have Remington Ammunition, Longthorn Shotguns. That's my newest one. I've just announced that. Jack Lynx Beef Jerky. That's been my second most recent one. Then I have Pomatic Traps, Demo Box, which is the new one. So that's a partner company with Quail Creek. Mm-hmm. They make speakers. I have Compenshope Tubes, JD Watch Repair, Kids and Clays, PMS Glasses, and Castellani USA and Score Chaser.
Well, we know Jamie Donner, so that's, He kind of tug at our heartstrings a little bit there with JD's Watch Repair. Super nice guy. But talk about the Longthorn. I know we were getting ready to wrap up here, but that's something new to our country, to our shores, is the Longthorn. How did that come about, and what was your initial reaction to the gun when you shot it?
Yes, so they'll take on shotguns a little bit different than any other company because they take the most modern approach they possibly can on it. So they use pretty much all high precision engraving machines So everything's machined down to within 2 microns of...
Really?
Yes. And so they make the big thing that do different is they make the bales of one solid piece of steel. And so what that does is essentially makes the bale stronger. So you take away 7 points of connection that's had tack weld, which could cause possible issues in wimpling the bale. And by having less points of connection, it causes less vibration in the shot.
So they still offer the titanium barrels, right?
Yes.
Is that what you're shooting?
No, I'm shooting the steel bale. So okay. The titanium bale is specifically designed for 28 gauge sub gauge bales, and it's made for the game hunter who's going out shooting a couple shots a day.
And trying to save on weight, obviously, yes. When he's packing around the woods.
Yes, yeah. No, definitely. So it's not, that bale is not, it's a cool bale, especially if you get opportunity to shoot it. It's nothing like, it's something, nothing like you've ever shot before. It'll be the fastest moving gun you possibly can.
But, I bet, I bet. You got a weight on that, you know, the 28 gauge, any idea?
The 28 gauge, I want to say it's 4 to 5 pounds. Because
wow.
they just came out with a all stainless steel, so it's all steel, and it's 5.02 ounces, so just hey over 5 pounds, and that's all steel.
Wow.
No titanium.
That's like carrying a walking stick through the woods.
Yeah, I know, that's incredible. The other one you mentioned was Demmerbox, and now we've seen them here at the club. You know, they sell them here at Quail Creek. Really cool. I mean, you could plug your phone in. They're waterproof. We saw the videos online. You're firing clay targets at them. You're shooting at them. These things are incredible. How did that come about? Talk a little bit about Demmerbox.
So Demmerbox is a company. It's a newer company. They've only been established for a couple of years. One of the partners in them is Alex Kelly. He's one that he's works with Crow Creek and Jack Links, and he got me connected with them. And then we went out. They want to branch out in the outdoor market more, show what they can do, especially bonfires, hangouts, stuff like that.
Represent
the company. And it's another company that from outside the industry for sporting clays that we are now getting in the industry. So
yeah, no, that's
more
awesome.
More companies we have in the industry, the better.
Absolutely, I agree 100%. Well, Todd, listen, like I said, we've been chasing you around for 4 years. We'd like to sit down and do a big podcast with you. So maybe here in the near future, we'll catch up. But until now and then, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us, and good luck tomorrow.
Yes, no, thank you for your time. We'll enjoy it. Shoot well tomorrow, guys.
All right, you too, Todd. Good luck.
Thank you.
Well, Jason, that was really great running into Steve Frey. I kind of caught him as he was walking by the building there and coaxed him into coming inside with us and sitting down. I don't think he really wanted to do it right off the top of the head. But, you know, Todd Hitch had just walked out, and Todd's like, yeah, go do this, guys. So good on Todd for vouching for us. He knows we're pretty good guys. But, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, when you hear him talk, and you know, he couldn't elaborate on a lot of stuff. But you just get the impression that there's so much more they're wanting to do. There's so much more that they're wanting to add to this shoot. It's exciting. I mean, I'm sure they're taking it in baby steps right now because they can only manage so much, and every year we've been, it's grown drastically year by year.
Yeah. Well, you hit the nail on the head. He can't elaborate, you know. But like you said, I can get the sense by talking to him, there's way bigger and better things planned for that facility. I mean, it sounds like they're really wanting to hit the ground running. And you know what? That's awesome. I mean, you know, they have the funding, they have the land, they have the capability. So I mean, looking at Jack Links, I think they'll do it right if they're going to do it. So,
well, and let's face it. I mean, it's a first rate experience. You go there. I mean, they had all the tents set up, the tables set up. They're giving away free bottles of their Bloody Mary mix, which was a free gift to everybody. It was like, there was probably at least 100 bottles on all the tables. They had the standard mix, the dill pickle, which we asked for last year, we didn't see. And then they had that new habanero one. I know you didn't try it, but boy, that was good. Nice and spicy. I like that.
Being on a carnivore diet, not supposed to eat anything plant-based. Oof, boy, that
we made an exception. We made an exception, look, you know, we were down there on vacation, so you can make these little minor tweaks.
Well, no, that wasn't my point. You know, my point was those Bloody Marys were great going
in.
They
were fantastic.
We won't talk about it any farther than that. So,
TMI, man, TMI.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, Sean, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to state it, you had to fly back home and get back to the salt mine.
Yep.
The very next weekend was the Florida Challenge at Bradford, and this is a shoot that I'm telling you right now, probably – and I listen, no discredit to any other club. I don't want anybody to think I'm being biased, but by far some of the toughest targets I've shot since I've been in Florida, period. I mean, these were good targets. Not, how do I say it? Sunday, I think, was a little bit too spicy. I think 88 was the high on Sunday. I think they were just a tick too spicy. But the important message here about Bradford and the Florida Challenge, the hospitality, the food, the amenities. I mean, Pat Welch will go out of his way. He'll lay down in a mud puddle so you can walk across without getting your feet wet. I mean, that's just the way the man is. I mean, wow. And the staff just goes above and beyond. It was an outstanding, top-notch shoot. And no, I'm not being biased. I'm sure by now everybody's seen that I won AA there and also won the Super Sporting. I'm not just saying that because I won. I would have said that if I would have been dead last. I don't care. This is a good shoot. And Sean, we've been to shoots all across this country. At least I have. And I know you've dabbled mainly in the Midwest, but I'm telling you, this was a top-notch shoot, and it's so underrated. It really is. Rick Hemingway was there helping set targets with Pat. They had staff buzzing around everywhere. I couldn't believe the amount of staff they had for this shoot. Speaking of food, Miss Melanie Parker had her food trailer there, and I'm gonna tell you what.
See, I haven't had the pleasure yet because it seems
I'm gonna let a little cat slip out of the bag. I got a call the other day from Guy's assistant. He's down here in Florida right now, and I wish he would have been down here when Melanie had her trailer set up, because I've been like, hey Guy, come here, I'm gonna show you how to cook something.
Oh, okay. Miss Melanie, you're gonna show Guy Fieri something, huh? Okay.
Yeah, Miss Melanie, get in there, Miss Melanie. You show him how to cook something. I'm gonna tell you what now. This girl can cook. I mean, outstanding food. And the portions you got for what she was given, it was just holy cow. So,
no, I've heard it's very, very good. So,
yeah. And she made the Sunday dinner, for the awards banquet and stuff. I mean, just outstanding. I mean, very good food. But that's my point about, listen, this isn't a food podcast. It's not what I'm getting into. It's the hospitality that went on at that shoot. And again, to my point that we had at the beginning of the show about if you can't make Jack Links or you can't make RC Cup or something, don't be afraid to get down here and shoot the Florida Challenge. If you want to come early in the year, at the end of January is the Blackjack Open. Of course, like I said, we would love to have you down at Vero. I mean, that place is, we've talked so much about it. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Yeah, it's
spectacular. But I mean, I think the bottom line is, Jason, the message we're trying to preach is they do it big down there in Florida through the winter months. And
yeah.
You know, the neat thing about it is, at least the thing that I see most often, is that, when you shoot your local clubs and tournaments and stuff, you kind of go there and you might hang out for a little bit, but there's not a lot of the extra activities going on. There's not a lot of the extra vendors going on typically. And when you go to these shoots, it's like going to a regional or a state, big state shoot, or even the nationals, because there's so many different vendors there. There's so many different people there. There's also a lot of big name shooters that you don't typically see at your local clubs if they're not from your area. So, you're going to run into Anthony. You're going to run into Zach. You're going to run into David. They're all out there. They're all competing and they're all having fun. And at the end of the night, usually there's something going on at a pavilion or somewhere that you can have a couple adult beverages, sit back, talk the crap with everybody, talk about the shoot, talk about the targets, talk about the weather. And it's just enjoyable to be there. I mean, it's an experience. That's the whole thing. The reason they have such good success with these shoots is they put on a good experience and you leave feeling like, I did something today.
That's absolutely
that's what's great about it, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, listen, we need something from all the listeners. Okay. First of all, we need questions for the coaches. Now, like I said, we've ran down through the list before of the coaches that we have that are like on standby, ready to go. Of course, you have Tracy Wright, Chad Roberts, Don Grant, Brad Kidd, Corey Cruz, Kevin DeMichael. John Woolley.
Yep. And don't forget Don Grant for your mental questions too.
No, I said Don Grant. I didn't forget her.
Are you sure?
Are you sure? We've just said it three times now. Don Grant. Yes, he's on the list. So, but yeah, No, if there's a coach that you want to ask a question from that we don't have on the list, don't be afraid to send us those questions. We'll get a hold of that person, get them on here, and get your questions answered. Also, speaking of which, Dr. Grace from OdoPro Technologies is taking your questions. Anything audiology related, anything to do with the ears, whether it's the products she offers, or if you just have a question about hearing, you know, and it's relatable to shooting somehow, send us those questions. Dr. Grace is willing to come on and talk with us about it and go down through this list of questions. Also, we are adding to the Dead Pair Challenge. You know, we're challenging everybody to take somebody new shooting once a month, okay, 12 times this year. When you do that, we want you to take a picture of yourself and your new shooter and tag us on social media. I think it'd be awesome. Yeah. Let's show how this is working. I got a text message the other day from a gentleman that has taken 14 new people shooting in the last eight months, and he's got the same thing we have, Sean. That's darn near caused divorces, and you know, they're spending money and buying guns. But out of those 14 people, came 12 new guns, and I don't even remember now the shell count, the amount of cases of shells that they've bought, and memberships and targets sold at clubs. This is huge. I mean, because those 14 new people are going to take 14 other new people, right?
Right.
And they take new people. And it's like wildfire. It spreads. The sport sells itself, as Sean always says. So when you take that new person out, hey, look, all these phones nowadays have cameras. Take your phone out. Take a picture of you and your buddy out shooting. Hashtag us on social media or tag us on social media. I think it'd be awesome to show how this is working.
Yeah. Let's see some big smiles. Let's see some people having fun, because that's, we say it week in and week out. It's all about having fun, all about enjoying yourselves. And, post it up on your social media. Feel free to drop us a link on the Dead Pair public page on Facebook. I mean, we've got all kinds of stuff out there. So we just want to see you guys doing it. That guy definitely set the bar high with 14 people in 8 months. But, even if you just add one person to the fold, I mean, you're growing the sport. You're helping the sport grow.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Another thing, too, that this gentleman brought up when he texted me, he's been asking me about my eye dominance issues. And stay tuned, everyone. We're going to have an episode coming out about that. Going to have a special guest coming on with that one. I'm going to have pictures and videos of my gun and what's going on, the problem I was having. There's some pictures of me shooting. You can see exactly what was going on. But we're going to get some people on to talk about that. I am not the expert. I'm still learning all this, but we are going to have that episode soon. So stay tuned on that one. But Sean, you had something on here in our notes about the clubs submitting their entries.
Oh, our clubs and coaches page?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going well. We've gotten a lot of interest in that. People are writing in. They got some questions and stuff. We've got a lot of new coaches, a lot of new clubs on the website. So we'll keep updating that as orders come in. And we tell people all the time, look, this is a good partnership with getting involved with our podcast, because everything we do pretty much pushes towards new shooters or shooters that are just coming into the sport. So if you're a coach, if you're a club, you need to get on our page, get advertised. It'll pay you back tenfold easily. It's worth every penny, and let's face it, it's not much money at all. So with that said, you're going to get access to a lot of people that might not know that you're out there. You're going to get immediate access to people that listen to our podcast and begin looking for a club, looking for a coach, or even people that are traveling to different states that they haven't been there before, and they're trying to figure out what are the local clubs in that state that I'm going to. So it's a big win-win for everybody, guys. And again, it's a drop in the bucket for anything else. For most coaches, half a lesson would probably pay for it, and the club's just a little bit more. But again, guys, don't hesitate. If you're on the fence about it, join the bandwagon, get on there. We'd love to have you listed on our website, and hopefully it'll bring a lot of new shooters to you and your way.
And we're going to tease everybody. Every one of those clubs and every one of those coaches is going to get a little push, a little bump from us.
Yes, sir.
That's coming soon. This is going to be something kind of cool. I think the listeners will dig it, and definitely adds more value to all the clubs and the coaches that are participating. So,
right on.
Sean, this Florida swing has been awesome. Wish we could have got more interviews, but you know, that's the one thing about it. Sean and I are shooters too, and we enjoy shooting, and it's a lot of work for us when we go to one of these events and we're trying to get interviews. Shooting times don't always intertwine with people we're trying to interview. A lot of times they've had a bad day shooting. They want to get out of there, or they've got other things they got to shoot and they don't have time. So it was a lot of work just to get these last two episodes in. But we're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep doing more and more. We've got some exciting things coming this year. I know I've talked about it before and I can't wait till it comes to fruition, but for right now, hang in there. We're going to keep bringing you good content every week. Sean Alley, the Dead Pair Challenge. What do we tell everybody every week?
Get somebody out there and get them shooting. Show them what the sport's all about. I think that if you were to take somebody that didn't even know anything about guns or shooting in general, within a short time, they should be able to be cracking a few clays off, breaking a few clays. And when they do that, it's going to create smiles and it's going to create excitement. It's going to create fun. Now, it may lead into, we say this all the time, this is a slippery slope. So it may lead into gun purchases. It may lead into accessory purchases. It's definitely going to lead into some ammo purchases, but it's all good for the industry. And the more people we have, the more fun it's going to be for everybody involved. And we all just want to try to grow the sport, make it as best as it possibly can be.
Absolutely. Sean, you know, I know I'm slacking. Do you have somebody lined up for March?
I do. Actually, he's another customer of mine of the sign shop. He owns a lock company. And Kevin Mitchell is going to be joining me very soon at a local club.
Oh, nice.
He is anxious to get out there. I've talked about it. He goes, I just listened to your podcast the other day. That's really cool. And I said, yeah, you want to come out and go shoot? And he goes, heck yeah, let's do it. He goes, I don't have a gun. I said, I can hook you up. I got plenty of spares. So yeah, I'm going to take him out, and I'm just kind of just talking it over with people that I see and meet and greet all the time. And again, I'm not excluding anybody. I'm going to get somebody out there every month and try to get a gun in their hand, and then we'll see what happens.
Awesome. I love it. Love hearing it. I've got some work to do because my two that I had lined up for January and February, they both work got in the way. So I'm trying to catch up to you, Sean, but I'll get there.
No worries.
But hey, listen, until next week, Mr. Alley.
We love y'all, and we can't wait to see y'all back here on the Dead Pair Podcast.
We'll see you next time on the Dead Pair Podcast.
The Dead Pair.
The Dead Pair Podcast is brought to you by Elite Shotguns and Vero Beach Clay Shooting and is fueled by Fiocchi USA. The Dead Pair theme song was written, arranged, and produced by Toby Tomplay. Special thanks to the following sponsors: Bear Pelt, Rhino, Otto Pro, Dawn Grant, Atlas Trap Company, RE Ranger, and White Flyer Targets.